like you to consider this morning. Have you met life? I'm not talking about the insurance company. Have you met life? Have you met life that is truly life? This past December, there was a movie that starred Will Smith entitled Collateral Beauty. It featured a cast of Keira Knightley, Kate Winslet, Ed Norton, and Helen Mirren. And though the critics didn't like it, it fared pretty well in the box office. Will Smith played Howard Inlet, an advertising executive who had lost his young daughter in a tragic death. As the movie begins, Howard is meeting with his team around him, and he says, "We are here to connect. Love, time, death. These three things connect every human on the earth. We long for love, we wish for more time, and we fear death." As the movie goes on, Howard goes into a deep grief. He quickly becomes estranged from his colleagues as he sinks into depression. In his grief, he writes letters to love, time, and death. His friends manage to intercept those letters, and they arrange for some struggling actors to personify love, time, and death, to meet with Howard, to have conversations with him, and hopefully provide a road of healing. As we consider the Easter story, John writes to us of Mary Magdalene, a woman who is deep in grief, one from whom seven demons had been cast out, one who devoted herself to and served Jesus Christ, probably helping financially with his ministry in Galilee. She traveled with him and his disciples to Jerusalem. She was there at the crucifixion. And she went to the tomb to anoint his body. As Mary comes to the tomb, she has three different conversations in the midst of her grief. I invite you to consider these conversations this morning and the people she met. Will you turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Listen to God's Word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, your word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. So, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would hear you afresh this morning. And as we hear you, Lord, help us to walk in obedience to you, to know the life that is in you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first conversation that Mary had is with Peter and John. Now, I don't know if Mary is a morning person or not. Maybe all the events of the previous week kept her up. Maybe she just couldn't sleep. All we know is that while it was still dark, she went to the tomb. And she found something startling. The stone had been removed from the entrance. This is not what she expected. I mean, who would really expect that? Over the course of the years, I have been in many cemeteries, at the graves of a number of people, in the congregations that I've pastored. I've been at the gravesides of my own family members. And the last thing that I would expect the day after a burial is to go back to the cemetery and see that the grave has been opened. I mean, can you imagine that? I think we need to give Mary a little bit of slack here. In her grief, she ran to see Peter and John. And when she finds them, she delivers the news. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. That's it. That's the extent of their conversation. There's no indication of who the we is or the they are. The assumption is that they took Jesus' body. Mary's words brought action by Peter and John. They start to go to the tomb. We read that they are both running and that John outruns Peter and gets to the tomb first. Interesting that John writes this and indicates he got there first. Isn't that just like guys? You gotta have competition. John bends over and looks in. Peter does him one better. He runs into the tomb. John follows him. And we read that they saw and believed. They saw and believed what? That Jesus had risen? Or that Jesus' body wasn't there? Because they still didn't understand about the resurrection. And so they went back to where they were staying. But one thing is clear. The tomb is empty. Mary then has another conversation. This time it's with angels. Now, I got to tell you, I have no idea what it would be like to have a conversation with an angel. I mean, it seems like every time that they show up, somebody's afraid. Because the first thing out of the angel's mouth is, "Don't be afraid." Think about when the angel Gabriel came to Mary to announce the birth of Jesus. The first words, "Do not fear." And then, The same thing with the shepherds who are out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy that shall be for you and all the people. Even in the Gospel of Matthew, as Matthew records what happened at the tomb, he tells us that there were Roman guards at the tomb who shook with fear when the angels showed up. What's interesting, in contrast here, is we don't hear anything about Mary having fear or being afraid. Why? I think it's because Mary is filled with grief. Her dear friend, Jesus, her Lord, is not there. His body is missing. And then the angels speak to her. They were sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, and they ask her a question. Woman, why are you crying? And I want to sit there and say, really? Really? Don't you know what's going on? You're an angel. As I thought about this over the years, I've sat there and said, you know, I wonder if angels have to take the class Pastoral Care 101. Because it didn't seem like they were really pastoral, at least at first glance. But look at what they do. They help Mary to begin to process the grief by speaking words of what happened. Woman, why are you crying? Mary responds, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Her grief was intense. Mary had deep love for Jesus, and in grief, she was unable to process any other information clearly. She was being human. Her emotions were driving her response. It's difficult to consider or process anything when we're in grief. But one thing's clear. The tomb is empty. Mary moves on to a third conversation, this one with the gardener. At least that's what she presumes. And it's a good presumption on Mary's part. Although we from the story know that this presumed gardener is Jesus, Mary doesn't realize that at first. And the gardener asks her two questions. The first is the same one the angels asked her. Woman, why are you crying? And the second, who is it you're looking for? Mary, still grieving, responds, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. It's then that the conversation gets very interesting. There are no more questions about crying. There are no more questions about who she's looking for. Jesus simply speaks her name, Mary. It's a voice that she's heard before. It's a voice that she recognizes, a voice that penetrates to the very depth of her grief. It's not the voice of a stranger. It's not the voice of a gardener. But a voice that she knows. It's the voice of Jesus, the teacher. And now Mary's response is a little bit unclear. We don't know if she embraced him or she fell at his feet and took hold of his garments. All we know is that Jesus said, don't hold on to me. Don't hold on to me. These words cannot be taken lightly. You see, Jesus was not the same as he was just a few days before. He had died, risen, and was on his way to the Father. When Mary went to the tomb, she met life. She met the one who became the resurrection and the life. And she needed to trust him. She could no longer hold on to the way that life was. She had to get on and realize that Jesus is not dead, but that he had risen. She began to embrace that new reality. we have the opportunity to embrace that reality as well. To meet the one who is life. I got to tell you that sometimes life brings what you don't expect. Last fall, I heard news from a friend in San Antonio, where I used to pastor, that Janet, who was the business administrator at the church that I served, that her husband and one of my friends, Paul, had been diagnosed with cancer. And they debated for a long time about whether to treat it or not. They decided not to, and I did not expect anything good to happen. Hold that over here. Now let me tell you this side of the story, that throughout the course of Lent, I decided not to be on Facebook. It takes too much time. I logged in this morning. The first thing that I saw was a message from Janet. It said, Paul is in remission. That's the first thing I saw for Easter. Now, God doesn't always work that way. But God surprises us. God shows up. Jesus shows up as the resurrection and the life. And my friends, we're going to die. But when we die, we have the privilege of meeting life in and through Jesus Christ. You see, the tomb is empty. Jesus Christ has become the resurrection and the life. And so have you met life? Jesus lived, died, and rose again to connect us to life that really is life. Jesus Christ has given us what we long for. He has given us love, which is unconditional. Jesus Christ has given us what we wish for, the gift of time eternal. And in Jesus Christ, we have the ability to stare death in the face and have no fear. Because death has been swallowed up in victory, Paul says. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Mary went to the tomb expecting to meet death, but she met life. Have you met life that is truly life? My friends, the tomb is empty. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He reigns this world as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. Jesus is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Let's live our lives knowing the one who truly is the resurrection and the life. May it be so. Amen.